It's that time on the radio here in Spain where we're joined on the line by Bill Blivens from Blivens Franks. Hi there, Bill. How are we today?
Hello, Howard. Yes, I'm fine, thank you. Hope you are too.
Yes. It is that time of the year, of course, here in Spain when we have to start thinking about submitting our income tax in Spain. But I believe the new socialist administration, the acting Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, and the tax authorities are being a little bit more radical. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it's true, Howard. I think it's worth just going through some of the statements which have been made by Agencia Tributaria, or the Hacienda as we commonly call it, the director of the Hacienda, at the beginning of last month, the middle of last month, made a statement about a number of things. The most important and perhaps the most shocking thing is that, as we expected, and we've discussed this before, Howard, now that they have information from such different sources, including the most recent Common Reporting Standard information, which is now being transmitted automatically between more than 100 countries, they have now in Spain started to use it wisely. And therefore, they have included substantial data in the draft report that they're now sending out to Spanish taxpayers. In particular, what they have provided are some indications for the taxpayers' reference. They claim that 2.17 million taxpayers are going to receive a note saying that the Spanish tax office believes that they have income from overseas. Last year, that number was half, virtually 1.3 million. This could be interest income, it could be pensions or whatever. They also say in the numerical schedules that 700,000 taxpayers are going to receive a note saying that the Spanish tax office believes that they have rental income. Last year, that number was a third of that, 258,000. Now, that could be long-term rental income, holiday rentals, which have not been declared to the tax authorities, which they have become aware of because they're receiving information from overseas tax authorities. The final number in the system is that there are 14,700 taxpayers who are going to get a note saying that the Spanish tax office believes that they have cryptocurrencies. And that's something totally new, because last year they didn't have this information at all. And what the article from the journal Expansión is saying is that taxpayers are now receiving inquiries from the Spanish tax office in relation to the information that's drifting into Spain under the Common Reporting Standard, when they suspect that some of the assets have not been declared when compared with the data they've got in place already. And apparently, with the Common Reporting Standard reporting to the Spanish tax office, they have received information about 1.5 million accounts with a total balance of 457 billion euros. And that doesn't match with the information they've already collected through Modelo 720, which we've covered lots of times, the declaration of your overseas assets, which they should have been made in previous years. That declaration amounts to 150 billion in three different categories, but the amount that they're now concerned about is three times the amount which has been declared on Modelo 720. So, you know, the tax authorities do have sharp teeth. Yes. But they have decided, I think, on this occasion to go for all sorts of new information which will allow them to collect greater amounts of revenue.
And what would our listener do if he gets one of these letters, or he or she gets one of these letters asking?
I think you have to, you have to remember your rights. I mean, you're not under any obligation to respond to anything instantly, and you're certainly not under any obligation to host a meeting with anybody without prior warning and without an appointment being made. So you do need to speak to your economic, your financial advisor, to make sure that you're responding correctly. I think if you are in any doubt about whether or not you have fallen the victim by carelessness, by naivety, or even if you did it intentionally, it's pretty obvious now with those sort of numbers and the amounts involved that this is the time to kind of hold your hands up and try and sort these affairs out before they get out of hand.
Yes.
Part of the responsibility of businesses like Blevins Franks is to ensure that you are legally avoiding tax and not illegally evading tax, whether by intention or by accident. And there's lots you can do to smooth the path from an erroneous tax declaration by error, by naivety, by intentionally. Lots of ways you can smooth the path from the darker side of the equation to the white side of the equation. You simply have got to sit down and walk through all the various things you might be able to do to get yourself out of what might, or looks to me, like a serious issue if you get caught by the Hacienda.
Yeah. Of course, some of our listeners don't think being a resident in Spain, they don't have to pay tax, so you have to look at that. And when is the income tax state return have to be submitted, and when is the tax due?
The dates for submitting your income tax return? Oh, well, most people who live in Spain, they have to complete a Spanish tax return. The taxpayer in Spain can decide whether to complete an individual return or a joint return with the spouse or with children if it's a single parent. And usually you can calculate which of the two results in the better level of payment, the lower level of payment. For Spanish tax residents, anyone who has spent more than 182 days, and I'll perhaps describe what residence means in a moment, for Spanish tax residents, returns for the previous year now are required to be submitted in general by June the 30th at the latest, or some point in time normally within May and between then and the 30th of June. And the tax due is also to be paid at that time. The form that you return is called Modelo 100. The tax can be paid in two instalments if you choose to do that, with the second payment being due in general in the forthcoming November. The first one will normally, as I say, be due on the 30th of June.
And what are the general tax rates for 2018 income?
Yeah, the general tax rates, go on a sliding scale. The general income tax rates are made up of the state's tax rates, as we've already described in previous discussions between us, and the regional tax rates, which are set independently by each particular autonomous community. Generally, the top combined rate of tax is 45% for the fiscal year 2018, but it can be marginally higher or lower in some communities if they have increased or reduced the community tax rates applying in their particular region. Anything not categorised, the savings income, is included under the heading of general income, and that includes all earned income, your employment income from self-employment, your pension income, your rental income, notional rental income, if the revenue put a notional rental income against your property value because you suspect you're renting it, income from royalties, and other small gains made, they all fall under the heading of general income, and the maximum combined tax rate is around 45%.
Okay. Well, many of our British listeners living in Spain, Bill, continue to earn income in the UK. Do you find that many get confused over where they need to declare this income and pay the tax? And what could be the repercussions of that?
That's a very good question. And as I mentioned to you at the outset of our discussion, the Common Reporting Standard now means that if you have declared to the UK tax authorities you're no longer resident of the UK and you've now taken up residence in Spain, and you do have income arising in the UK and you have not declared it in Spain, they will be told about it anyway, automatically. And that's where the errors start to crop up. Of course, there is confusion. It's kind of natural to think if you're a British citizen and you have some rental income, for example, that's been charged to tax in the UK, that you've met your liability. Well, hard luck, that is not the case. If you're a resident of Spain, you're liable for tax on your worldwide income, including income that has already been taxed in the UK at source on things like rental income and other income arising in the UK. What you can have is a credit against your Spanish tax liability for the tax that you paid on that income in the UK. So that's protected under the double tax treaty, but that's where the naivety, the errors crop in, simply because people assume having paid tax in one jurisdiction, they've met their liability in another. That just is not the case.
Yeah. So, Bill, let's look at some of the types of UK income, starting with UK pensions. Should expatriates declare their pension income in Spain and pay tax on it here?
In fact, if you become a Spanish tax resident, then your pension income, however it is created, whether it's a self-employed pension or an employed pension, in most cases it will be liable to Spanish income tax. There is one or two small exceptions: UK government service pensions, civil service, local authority, fire service, police, certain teachers' pensions, but not the National Health Service pension, funnily enough. They all remain liable only to UK tax, and they're not taxable in Spain at all. So EU and Commonwealth nationals can claim UK personal allowances to set against the income which arises into the UK. And under the earlier double taxation treaty, a UK government service pension amount was exempt item, which was therefore not taxable in Spain. But under the new treaty, if you have a UK government service pension of the sort I've just described, then the amount of the UK pension must now be included in the calculations you make, which determine the Spanish tax due on the income which is taxable in Spain. That effectively means that taxable income may be pushed into a higher rate of tax, but remember, you will still get the credit for the tax that was deducted or paid at source in the UK against your Spanish tax liability under the terms of the double tax treaty. The difference between then and now is that previously it wasn't declarable in a sense, certainly not taxable. Now it's added to the calculation to determine what your highest rate of tax is, and therefore it can push you into a higher tax bracket, and then you'll get a tax credit for the amount you paid. Now, if the amount you paid in the UK, for example, is less than what is due from you in Spain, again, I'm sorry to say this, hard luck, you're going to have to pay the difference in the tax payable in Spain between that you paid in the UK and that which is due on that same income in Spain.
And what about UK rental income, Bill?
Yeah, that I think a lot of UK nationals have UK rental income. If you're resident in Spain and you rent out your property in the UK, the income could be taxable, as I've tried to explain, because it arises in the UK in both countries. Though the UK tax can be offset, as I've just described, against your Spanish liability, in Spain it is taxed at the same scale rates of income tax. A 60% reduction is available in Spain against the net rental income, but only for long-term lettings where the tenant uses the property as their main home. So there are some restrictions there. And if you've got UK rental income, the key to remember is, as I tried to indicate at the beginning of this discussion, you have got to declare that income in Spain. Having paid tax in the UK does not save you from the tax payable in Spain.
Okay. And what about ISAs and premium bonds? They're tax-free in the UK, but what about here in Spain?
They are tax-free in the UK. They're a fantastic, certainly the ISA arrangement is. Premium bonds launched about 60 years ago. I think today I'm told there's about 21 million people owning premium bonds. I've had some my mother bought me when I was about 15 years of age, and I don't even know where the certificates are. I'm sure someone would tell me if I've won the big prize. They don't provide any automatic interest on earnings or capital growth, whereas ISAs are a vehicle for putting in money into investments which are free of UK tax. However, they're free of UK tax because the UK government has given an authority to the revenue not to collect tax on these things, and therefore they're tax-free. They are an incentive created by the UK government for thrift by UK residents. And the moment you move out of the UK, both with premium bonds and with ISAs, individual savings accounts, and some of those ISAs have been contributed to for years and years, and many of them worth in excess of £1 million or euros. The simple fact is they're not tax-free in Spain. They're fully taxable in Spain along with any other form of income. And so if you hold ISAs or you hold premium bonds, which you believe to be tax exempt, I'm afraid you're mistaken. And that is another area where reporting between the revenue in the UK, who will be aware of your ISA, and the tax authority in Spain, that information will eventually be passed to the Spanish tax authority. So if you do have an ISA and you think because it's tax-free, you're not going to have to pay any tax in Spain, I'm afraid, again, you're mistaken. You're going to have to declare your ISA in Spain, or, as is much more sensible, talk to one of the Blevins Franks advisors about the alternative type of ISA that you can secure in Spain. It's not called an ISA. It's called it by a number of things, but it's essentially a structure like an ISA, but the amount you can put into the Spanish version is unlimited, whereas in the UK it's limited to about £20,000 a year maximum, whereas in the alternative that's available to you in Spain, you can put in an unlimited amount, millions if you've got them. So time to sit down and avoid a report coming in about your ISA and to get it cleared up and straightened out before that report comes in. That's one of those things I was saying. You can sit down and talk to someone about how you go about making up for errors you might have made in the past, but now is the time to do that.
Yeah. Finally, Bill, there's not much you can do about income tax on your employment income, but what about your investment income? Are there compliant opportunities in Spain to reduce tax on your investments?
Yeah, there are, Howard. I mean, I sort of inferred that a moment ago, but just to be a little more clear, Spain has a very attractive tax planning, if you like, regime, in the sense that They provide tax benefits and tax advantages to a certain structures in Spain. Often, if you're holding your assets in a vehicle known as a personal portfolio bond, you can put in unlimited amounts. It's structured in the form of a single contribution insurance policy, in essence, but what you've got inside it is your own selection of investment choices. If you don't take any income from it, it rolls up entirely free of income tax. If you make gains and you don't take them, it's entirely free of capital gains tax. There are devices around that structure that can prevent you from paying succession or inheritance tax. It is an eminently better vehicle for personal savings than an ISA. What you have to do, however, is to sit down and talk to an independent financial advisor like Blevins Franks to work out, is it appropriate for you and how should you move from where you are to where you should be?
And how can people get in touch with you, Bill? I guess the website is a good place to start.
I think it is the best place to start. Lots of details about the business on the website that should give people viewing it confidence. Wherever you live, there will be an office not too far from you, and indeed no one's ever further away than a telephone call. So don't be afraid to look at the website, get in touch with Blevins Franks. They would be delighted to hear from you, especially at this critical time when everybody's affairs are under a much sharper microscope than perhaps been the case in the past 10 or 15 years.
And that website is, of course, www.blevinsfranks.com. What could be simpler? Bill, thank you very much for talking Spain at the same time next week.